Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Welcome again to Next Step Leadership Podcast. I'm Chris Maxwell. I'm enjoying another conversation with Tracy Reynolds. Tracy, each dialogue that we have with friends, with people that we meet maybe for the first time or those that we've known for a long time, each one brings just a nice angle, a nice perspective of life, listening to their stories and then hearing their hearts of how they want each of us to carry on our life stories. And so it's exciting to think about our conversation that we're about to have today.
You're so right, Chris. I am super excited to be today with Eddie and Beth Taylor. This is the dynamic duo. They are going to be sharing with us. Beth and Eddie are leaders to leaders, and that's always been the case as long as I've known them. They are conference speakers and writers, co-founders of the Taylor Ministry Group, which is, I love this word, trans-local ministry focused on preparing, resourcing, and restoring healthy leaders. Because they believe that healthy leadership will promote church revitalization and the evangelization of the planet. Beth is an ordained minister, has degrees in both psychology and education, and they're co-founders of the Family Discipleship Ministries, which is a network that offers training in discipleship and leadership and worship and missions. And Eddie has also served in several ministry leadership teams and currently serves on the lead team for Lee Grady's Bold Venture Ministries, which is a huge, impactful discipling ministry. Beth and Eddie live in Waycross, Georgia, and they have three adult sons, Jacob, David, and Jonathan, two daughters-in-law, Kayla and Mariana, and they're going to be grandparents really soon. Welcome to the podcast, Eddie and Beth Taylor.
Thank you. We are so excited to be here with you two.
We're really glad to be back with you guys. What an opportunity.
Super good. Well, listen, we want to hear some of your original stories. Tell us like how you guys came to know Jesus and how you got started this whole thing. And I'm dying to hear you guys unpack that together.
Well, I think did I become a Christian first? I'll start. So I grew up heathen. I grew up in an interesting environment, interesting home, very loving parents that had multiple divorces. So there was, it was not an easy upbringing. And I had never heard the gospel ever and didn't really grow up in church. So when I was 15, my older brother took me to a Petra concert. They just did their 50-year reunion tour this year.
Wow.
They were at it 10 years when I saw them in 83. So when I was 15 years old, went to a Petra concert, ran down to the altar when Greg Volz gave the altar call and gave my heart to Jesus. And everything changed from that point forward.
And so I have just the opposite story. I had grown up in church, a very small denominational church here in Waycross, Georgia. And during my teenage years, I had wandered, and Dr. Mark Rutland came to Waycross and did a series of revivals over the years at the Methodist Church. And my younger brother renewed his faith commitment to Jesus and felt like the Lord told him to come to Valdosta State, where I was in my last semester getting a marketing degree. And so he moved in with me, and he began to witness to me, and I began to persecute him. It was a nice relationship. And put it this way, when I came to Christ, it was such a triumph for him that he transferred to Emmanuel College and got a degree from there. And so So that's another way that we're connected. And that was in 1986. So we've been walking with Jesus a long, long time.
Well, after those experiences, again, coming from different angles, different perspectives, but God bringing you both to Him, what next?
Well, we met as youth interns for our papa and mama in the Lord, Ray and Serena Owens. They were my youth pastors. Mm-hmm. And then after I graduated high school, we met and were youth interns. So we became friends and then decided that we could do ministry. We knew we were both called to ministry, and we decided we could do it better together than apart.
And, so, and she's very pretty, too, on top of that. That didn't hurt.
Well, and so is he.
And so,
I can't lie. That had something to do with it.
And so as we just – I was a sporting goods salesman, and Beth was an elementary school teacher, and we just really believed that kind of in my story that discipleship was the missing link. And so we began to do our best to make disciples. And because we had done that youth internship, that moved us into youth ministry. And we began to serve churches as youth pastors, first, you know, volunteer and then part-time. And then in 1992, we became the associate assistant, I think the title was assistant pastors, in charge of youth and young adults at the Old Camp United Methodist Church in Carrollton, Georgia. And Pastor Ronnie Brannon, who is now the executive director of Global Servants with Dr. Mark Rutland, was the senior pastor. And so you'll see a thread there, and that's how we got over there and started serving. It was around that time that Jacob was born. And so we just started loving students and building leaders, making disciples, and that is really how it started in 1992, 93.
And we still always have high school or college students in our life that we're born into, because for whatever reason, they still listen to us. I don't know why, because we're not in our 20s anymore.
I'm sure sometimes I get an eye roll, and I wouldn't say it that way if I was you, but you know, we're continually, we're continually trying to stay relevant to the gospel and understand current culture at the same time. It's a challenge.
Well, I think part of that is you have a deep compassion for them, and they sense and know that from you guys. I mean, Beth and Eddie, that's the reality is they don't care what you know if they don't know how much you care about them. And you definitely communicate that with them with the way you live. And yes, your interest in them, but I think your interest in them specifically and your compassion for them is probably the missing link there.
Well, pick up from there, and what next? To talk to us as you know, let's just, we'll continue talking about discipleship, because that's in your heart, and that's what Tracy and I love to emphasize in this whole podcast. It's like carrying on the next steps. How do we do that? We go and make disciples. That's kind of the overall plan. But talk to us about what you did next and your years of pastoring, and then walk us through that.
Well, we were serving in a denomination that at the time required a master's level degree to be a senior pastor, and neither one of us had master's degrees. And it was just funny how it worked out, the Lord, that we began to get phone calls from independent fellowships that were asking us if we would come plant a church or be a senior pastor or whatever. And so in late 99, early 2000, we became senior pastors for the first time, and Beth and I co-planted and co-led a church together. And that's just a whole, you know, nothing that we had ever done had prepared us for that, because it's one thing, you know, to be youth pastors together. And a lot of couples don't do that. You know, they don't share ministry, but we had always pretty much shared the ministry. Beth's a great communicator. And so it wasn't like, you know, Pastor Eddie and a sideshow. We would take turns communicating, or she would get offers to communicate or whatever. And then though, when we were in a small town and we didn't have an office, we didn't have a church building, we were meeting in our home to start with in a elementary school, we were just together all the time. And I don't know if you can hear my voice. Learning her, because you know you have to walk outside to think or change your mind, and so we had to learn how to live together and lead together at a whole different level.
Yeah, and work together all the time.
All the time.
And then where to draw those boundaries? Because you know when you're raising children together, you have, we're best friends. We're doing ministry together. When is quitting time? You know, when do you stop talking about this issue, that issue, this thing we need to take care of? And so we've had to learn how to draw healthy boundaries that we both, you know, agree on and are good with. And So how to communicate in ways that are life-giving when sometimes we were not always life-giving in our communication with each other. I mean, yeah. We've always worked on our marriage because we got a prophetic word when we were married maybe a year.
Yeah.
That our marriage would be our greatest ministry and that the Lord was in our boat. And so that seemed kind of laughable at the time because those first 2 years of marriage were very challenging. We had our own unique sets of baggage that we had to work through, and I had way more. And so,
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I did. I said it, but, so it's okay. I said it. It's true. So we've learned how to work on our marriage because that has to be healthy for him to be able to flow through both of us together and use us the way he does.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things that neither one of us are really very good at faking it. And so if we had been fighting like cats and dogs, it would be hard to look like the apostles and prophets when we got up on the platform. And so we learned how to work on agreement and really coming into agreement. And we got a hold of some resources, some books, a marriage conference we went to with, again, Dr. Mark and Allison Rutland. And then we got a copy of it on cassette tape and we just listened to it all the time. Because we weren't the poster children for marriage ministry. We were the poster children for people that could not get along.
Yeah. And my parents were married 4 times each. So I was determined that I wanted to live in surrender in such a way. And Eddie, too, that our marriage was surrendered to him and that he could have his way in it. So he would get glory and we wouldn't kill each other.
Yeah.
Well, that's so powerful. I appreciate, and it is unique to you guys that you're right, that most times the husband and the wife are not equally immersed in the ministry simultaneously. And I'm sure that has presented lots of challenges, but also lots of rewards. What are some of the rewards that have, you've mentioned the challenges, but what are some of the cool things that happen as a result of that?
Well, I like to say it this way, is that one of the things that happens, it's helped us multiply our joys and divide our sorrows. So instead of me having to come back or her having to come back and go, you won't believe what happened, or you won't believe what happened. We've been able to be in those moments together. We've been together in Mexico. We've been together in Israel. We've been together in those moments where the Lord has shown up in incredible ways and touched hearts and lives. You know, we've been able to do weddings together and premarital counseling together where we've stood before couples or we've sat with couples. And
we're also each other's cheering section, because there's certainly times where there's something that I'm doing. I might go somewhere and speak, preach, minister, or Eddie independently. And so we travel together now, but we're there to cheer each other on. He'll go work the merch table for me. I'll do the merch table for him. You know, we're just there for each other, because if he wins, I win. If I win, he wins. I mean, that's one.
Love it. That's good. Well, you guys were pastors at that church for how many years? And then get us to the future. I mean, moving to where things are today.
Yeah. So we pastored the church we planted for about 3 years. And then we pastored the church that had sent us there for about 5 years. And then we were at Church on the Hill in Dalton, Georgia, our last church that we were senior pastors for 9 years. And so right at 9 years, a little over 8 years. And so that was our history as senior pastors. And then we've been traveling and ministering and doing the Taylor Ministry Group and since late 2018, early 2019.
Wow. Well, talk to us about those years of serving as pastors in the local church. And talk to the audience those who are students just going into ministry, kind of giving them here's some suggestions for you. Talk to those in the audience who are in ministry right now, but wish they were not. they're worn out week to week, day to day. Ministry is life instead of a part of life. And also those who are older, kind of like the one who's talking to you right now. but I want to make sure that I finish well. I want to be able to just pass the torch on to the next generation. Talk to all of those tribes from your perspective about this is what we've learned from our life of ministry.
Well, I think it's it's very important to note that the church that we planted did not go well.
Thrive.
Ultimately, it did not thrive, and they're just the life of the Lord was just not on it. And I, looking back, I understand now. So after 3 years, let me just say, wait, the group that sent us to plant said, "There's no life on this. Let's shut her down." And so we just ended it. And that was one of the most awful, beautiful things that could have happened to us, because failure is not lethal. Failure is a friend. If you fail forward, you get back up, you keep going, and you learn. And you learn from what you did wrong, from things that you could have done better, from the heart things that God teaches you when you're willing to live and surrender in the most horrible place of failure. And so it changed who we are, and it's been progressive. I mean, obviously, life is you learn your whole life. Ideally, leaders should always be learning, always, always, always. And so that changed the course of our ministry for us. It changed the course of our hearts for ministry, I should say it that way, because there was no longer bald ambition. It was, okay, Lord, we do not have the Midas touch, and we just want to live and surrender to you where you have us, and to love people the way you would love them, and serve and lead them the way you would. So have at it. Here we are.
Yeah. Well, because we had gone there from being, we had served a couple churches that we'd had very large youth student ministries, like mega church size. And so kind of, almost like anything we touched, God had really blessed. Mm-hmm. And so to experience the power and the presence of the Lord in what wasn't numerical success was a real lesson in discipleship for us. And then we went from there, again, returning to the church that had sent us. And for me, learning there was a lesson on being real with yourself and being real with your emotions and understanding that. I love the way you said that, Pastor Chris, that ministry isn't your life. It's a part of your life. And what I experienced in Lake City, the 5 years we were there, because really it ended with me going into a season of burnout and stepping out for a season, doing my vocation that I've been trained in and going through some therapy before the Church on the Hill opportunity came up, was that I had to learn how to be real with my emotions and how to express faith, but not deny the facts. Mm-hmm. Faith doesn't deny facts. Faith knows that truth supersedes facts. And that's a challenge for me, because at the time I didn't want to be real with myself. I didn't know how to communicate negative feelings to Beth. I didn't know how to communicate those things. And I had never at that point yet seen a therapist. And we just believe so much. I want to say this to people at every level of ministry, that just like if you twist your ankle or you cut your finger or something, you'll go to an emergency room and get triaged, or you go to your general practitioner. There's nothing wrong with seeing qualified therapists or counselors who can help you work through the angst that you carry in your heart and mind.
Not only is there nothing wrong with it, but we always highly recommend it. A Christian counselor that believes in the heart of Jesus. That's who we have seen. And honestly, I think what changed the most for us going forward as senior pastors is that we felt it was so important to move forward healthy and not toxic. Because when we don't allow the Lord to heal, church hurt is one of the most crippling things. And it's been an excuse for a lot of people. And it's been a hidden thing for others, particularly with leaders in the church. They have unhealed hurt, and we just stuff it. And it's in there festering, and it comes out one way or the other. And so one of the things we do now when we work with leaders is we teach them that you, number one, you let the Lord in to heal those broken places. But number two, it's not your ministry. Ministry should never flow from our identity should never flow from what we do. What we do should flow from who we are in Christ. And if who we are in Jesus is, and the Lord is a son or daughter, isn't the platform from which we do everything, the root and the base of everything, then it's you're setting up for failure. I mean, you just are. And for a world of heartache.
I got to the point where I remember one year it was about it was at the end of the year, and was just reflecting on the end of the year, getting ready for the next year. And I remember I'd had my time with the Lord with my Bible and prayer time, which we try to do daily, and we do it.
I didn't want to mention.
And I went in where Beth was, and I said, Beth, I believe this. I said, I am not going to do ministry any longer if I can't do it with peace and joy. Because you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And I can't stand up here in front of this wooden box and tell people to have peace and joy if I'm fretting all the time, if I'm consumed with attendance, if I'm consumed with budgets, with numbers and noses. And really began to go on a journey again of the next place of healing, of the next place of wholeness, of the next place of attitude and perspective about ministry. Mm. And those are the journeys really that have led us to where we are now, is to be able to talk to people and try and ask powerful questions that will help them get to their motive, their heart motives, and the why that they do what they do, to let them hopefully see the plan of Jesus for their life, and to take real joy and hope and peace in what he's called them to do and who they are, and to enjoy their life in ministry.
Oh, that's so good. Well, Eddie and Beth, we love you guys, and this is a wonderful way to begin our conversation. And so we will stop this episode now, but I'm looking forward to the next part of the dialogue that we have with you guys. And yeah, we'll continue listening to more of your story. And in the next episode, we want you guys also to tell us about your books and your ministry and everything that God has you doing now. But I think it's been helpful for us to hear about the past. Because the past is that has helped shape us and create us into who we are now, lessons learned that we can apply and then pass on to others, with our goal being to find ways to make sure that our next steps are our best steps.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at seatracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. Things fill my